August Falsheroth, and welcome to the Gaelic Hour. You're listening to Chin 97.9. This is Austin Cummerton on this snowy day in Ottawa. And I'm going to make a few announcements up early on in the show because we have a full show for you today. On Tuesday nights, as usual, there's the session at the Gap at Dunloe, and on Wednesday nights, there's the Adult and Kaylee set dance classes out at the Villa Marconi. Stones in His Pocket continues over at the GCTC, and the Irish Society. This is an interesting one. The Irish Society are starting a sponsored drop-in at St. Margaret Mary's on Sunnyside, and that's on Tuesdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and that is anyone is welcome to drop in there. And there is a Kaylee Tonight over at the Legion Hall on Montgomery, 330 Kent Street. Beauty Queen Aline Ann is finishing up its run out at Kanata Players. And there's a jam session at Mother McGinty's, and I'm proud to announce that as and from December, the Irish Village will be a sponsor of the Gaelic Hour. And on Saturday, December 3rd, there is an Irish Kitchen Kaylee, and that is over at St. John the Apostle, and that's a fundraiser out there on 2340 Baseline Road in Ottawa. Suggested offering at $10 at the door. The Embassy of Ireland in Ottawa would like to remind listeners that the deadline for the receipt of applications for citizenship through marriage is the 29th of November 2005. If you have been married to an Irish citizen for at least 3 years and wish to apply for Irish citizenship yourself, you should write to the Embassy of Ireland at Suite 1105 130 Albert Street, Ottawa, Ontario, K1M1Y2. Please include a stamped addressed envelope to allow the Embassy to send you the application forms. Further information on this and other topics of interest is available on the Embassy's website, www.irishembassyottawa.com. The Embassy will unfortunately not be able to process applications received after the 29th of November 2005 deadline. This is the Gaelic Hour. You're listening to Austin Cummerton on Chin 97.9, and this program is available also on the web at www.fidelity.ca. That's FYDELITY.ca. And you can reach me on the internet at Gaelic, that's GAELIC, at fidelity.ca. I have in studio with me two very, very powerful actors. I have Pierre Breau, a native of Ottawa, and Jonathan Gould, and they're performing at the moment in the Great Canadian Theatre Company Stones in His Pockets production, which is set in County Kerry in Ireland and is a bit of a takeoff of The Quiet Man and the perceptions that exist among many, particularly in Hollywood, of who the Irish are, what the Irish are, and what the expectation of audiences is, an audience is in relation to the Irish. Jonathan and Pierre, welcome.
Thank you, Alison. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
And first of all, a little bit about the play. Tell us something. For someone who hasn't been there and someone who might be debating going, tell us a little about this.
Well, Stones in His Pocket is an unusual play because it's only two actors playing in it, but these actors play a total of 15 characters. Males, females, Americans, Scotsmen, but lots and lots of Irishmen. It takes place in County Kerry, and it's really the main story is about two extras on a film set, and we see the film from the extras' point of view as opposed to seeing it, the film itself, and it examines not just the relationships between these two gentlemen, their own interpersonal relationship, but it really is a background about the idea of how Ireland is presented to the rest of the world.
Right.
And whether it is, I mean, Ireland obviously is one of the nation that the diaspora is just everywhere and has had such a grand influence on the rest of the world, but when we look at Ireland itself from our north North American standpoint. It's often this very, very different world. And having been to Ireland a few times, I've seen that difference now.
And to that extent, actually, the Ottawa Citizen today comments on your acting abilities, on your ability to, as they state, to turn on a dime from one character to another. And that's literally how I could see things happening, unfolding on the stage last night. It was literally turning on a dime. Both of you would turn on a dime from one person to another, and until in the audience we got a grasp of what was this was how it was happening. Right. As soon as that registered, it was powerful.
It takes a while sometimes for the audience to click in. It's almost like listening to Shakespeare, where it just takes that first few minutes to get into the cadence and the rhythm of the, not just the language, but the changes going on. And but when they do plug into that, they're usually very, very receptive to it.
So how have you interpreted or sensed the responses to an Ottawa audience, given that certainly as somebody Irish in the audience, I could relate 100% to everything on the stage, but I felt a lot of what was coming across might go over the heads of some of the audience?
Well, I guess every play, you know, will relate to someone on a different level, and certainly this is a play, if you're from Ireland, or if that's your background, then that will... there are things that will that will touch you in a way that will touch no one else.
Right.
But I think the play itself, this is... The same thing happens when America comes here and shoots films in Canada, or rural Canada particularly. You know?
Right.
And in fact, right at the end of the play, Jake says, this could happen to any kid, any rural kid, and there's a truth in that, I think. And I also think that the play metaphorically stands for, you know, the notion of what your heritage is, what to believe in, but also not to be suppressed or oppressed by that, or to, you know, also breaking out of your own sort of box, your own limitations, those
right.
sorts of things.
And to that extent, one of the things that I know I was commenting to my wife as we were leaving was that, you know, the perception of the Quiet Man, which, again, this is the movie is the Quiet Village. Is it? No, the Quiet...
The Quiet Valley.
The Quiet Valley. That it is referring back to that. And if I think in terms of what has come out of Ireland in recent times, and like in America and a variety of other... I was at Goldfish Memory on Tuesday night for the European Film Festival, that the perceptions that is now projected from Ireland in theatre particularly is very strong Irish as distinct from Hollywood interpretation of Ireland.
Absolutely, there seems to be a real... I heard of this play a long time ago, long before I ever imagined I would actually be in it, and was really drawn to the idea of it, especially having been fortunate enough to take Blood on the Moon to Ireland, that the idea of how the Irish perceive themselves has, I think, changed as well. And
mm-hmm.
certainly there's been many people in Ireland who've told me that,
mm-hmm.
that their idea of themselves has changed.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was always struck by is that the Irish, it's a nation of storytellers, that no matter what you're doing, it's a story.
Mm-hmm.
I remember listening the first day on the radio to the weather report, and the weather report something like, well, there'll be clouds today, but which will be lovely for Mary, who's growing some flowers over in, you know, everything is a story. It's a lovely story. The ideas, especially as well, the reality of the economy changing so drastically, has given a bit of empowerment, I think, to the Irish to be able to say, you know what, we're not this, we're not the shamrock carrying, shillelagh wielding, you know, we are very, very distinct modern country who is very aware of their history, but
right.
is also very ready to tell their new stories.
And as we were talking just before the microphones went on, I threw a term at you, Paddy Whackery.
Yes.
Paddy Whackery, when I was growing up, was the way the Irish used to behave around the English in the times. And I know part of the scene was that here, the big house, the land was going to be given back to the people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Paddy Whackery was where, you, in a way, you were able to look somebody straight in the eye, particularly someone that was the gentry or English, and you said something and they thought you were complimenting them, but in reality you were insulting them greatly.
Yes.
That comes through very much as well in some of the humour in the play.
Right.
And to that extent, actually, that's the other question I would ask, that there's an awful lot of humour in this play. It's laced, it's like from start to finish, it's a comedy.
Yes.
While on the other side of it, it has a very, very serious... very serious message.
Mm-hmm.
It's a comedy, and you can't help but sit there and laugh. Do you find that some of the comedy is lost, or where you would have expected maybe that someone would understand some comedy, that it doesn't quite transcend again over here?
don't know. I think, you know, one thing is, this is the kind of show that's going to take some time to really find its rhythm. It's by no means a simple piece of theater, even though it's simply told to a certain extent. But I think finding the rhythms, I mean, it's full of so much humor that, I mean, eventually, hopefully, we'll have one of those nights where just about everything lands. Not that you probably ever get a night where everything lands. But even in terms of its specific humor, I think that it's going to be on a nightly basis, depending on who's in the audience as well.
True, you know, absolutely. And certain references, I think, will always resonate deeper for people, certainly for Irish people, I remember opening night when the Quiet Man was first referred to, and of course you heard some smattering of recognition in the audience,
right.
But the reality is that most people sitting in the audience will not know what the Quiet Man is, unless they're Irish or have been to Ireland or have been fortunate or unfortunate enough to sit through the Quiet Man.
Well, the other thing that struck me was some of the audience might relate more to Dean Martin being played than some of the other
absolutely.
Music. And some of the music that was played, like the from Riverdance, very identifiable, and again a great humor associated
with this.
Yeah. Some of the other more serious things again that were there that were weaving through it was the importance that the Irish put on when a trauma or a real tragedy occurred in the small community, and how the Irish have always perceived the intrusion of outsiders in that type of a situation.
Right.
That was portrayed beautifully and very very strongly.
Mm-hmm.
As an experience in acting, and I know you've done Blood on the Moon, Jonathan, is this your first interaction with what would be a 100% Irish play?
No, actually, I did a play last winter called A Whistle in the Dark by Tom Murphy.
Right.
And we brought over a young director from Dublin named Jason Byrne, and that was my first sort of fully Irish play. But it is, you know, like Ben Barnes from the Abbey Theatre had recommended this play and this director to this young company that was just starting up. And it is one of the finest experiences I've ever had.
Right.
One with this director and two with a play that he was written when he was 25 years old. And it wasn't even done in Ireland at the time because the Irish really rejected it because it was a fairly... it was a pretty honest portrayal of a destructive family.
Right.
You know, and of course, alcohol was a major factor in that. And I guess at the time, in the 50s, that really wasn't the time to look oneself in the face, maybe.
And I think it's not unusual that nobody really likes somebody holding up a mirror to them.
Yeah.
And at times, a mirror needs to be held up for both the good and the bad. And certainly, this play holds up mirrors in a variety of ways.
But there's something about, I mean, that being my first experience, but I've always been drawn to watch Irish plays and Irish stories. I find them, I don't know, there's something that speaks to me about.
And then at the deeper level, the very, very human aspect of this play, of where it reaches down to how a human being was reaching out and trying to find himself.
Right.
And that the ultimate that rejection because of acceptance by one and rejection of another in his own territory, the devastating consequences that had for him.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
I can't recommend this play strong enough to anyone that might be listening out there.
Good to hear.
Well, there's a challenge, so
it's certainly it's a powerful play. You two guys do a fantastic job.
Thank you.
The accents, even though
part are they of
all right? even though part of the fun on that is that I know in one of the female character that you play, Pierre, is an effort to master an accent.
Right. Yeah, she's an American actress who is trying to master the Irish accent.
Yes,
it's very funny.
The only thing I had difficulty, and nearly you pulled it off really well, was I was trying to imagine you in pumps. And I
Well, I'm sorry, that's a whole other play. And we won't discuss my nightlife now.
But you got the walk down well, and cheers, you got the everything down.
It's all the hips.
It's just, it was, yeah, but the boots just didn't quite cover it.
Yeah.
Pierre Brault, Jonathan Gold. Thank you very much for coming into the studio and spending this time with me, and I wish you every success in the remainder of the run at the GCTC.
Thanks very much, Austin.
Stones in His Pockets, now until December 11th, isn't it?
Yes, with a possible extension to the 17th. So keep your ear to the ground, and if you hear that it's doing well, then call for the 17th.
Excellent. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back.
Roberto, what's going on, man? What you been up to?
Noah, I've been all over the world. First, I arrived in Asia. Then I lived it up in Lebanon. Cuba was cool. Then I kicked back in the Caribbean.
How did you pay for all this?
I didn't. I just turned on Chin Radio 97.9. They bring me everywhere I want to go and so much more.
The first annual Canadian Folk Music Awards are being held December 10th at the Museum of Civilization. Tickets for this gala event are just $35 and available by calling 819-776-7000. The evening will include performances by Kieran Alawalia, David Francie, Mary Jane Lamond, Ember Swift, James Keelan, Levon de North, Finest Kind, and Tanya Taguaf Gillis. And your hosts for the evening are Connie Caldor and Gilles Garand.
When Hollywood descends on a small Irish village, everyone wants their 5 minutes of fame. Charlie Conlon and Jake Quinn find themselves plunged in the Hollywood world of self-important directors. Stones in His Pockets is an hilarious and irresistible two-man show where actors Jonathan Goad and Pierre Brough bring to life more than 15 characters in this award-winning and internationally acclaimed Irish comedy. For bookings and information, call the Great Canadian Theatre Company at 236-5196 or visit gctc.ca. Stones in His Pockets runs from November 22nd to December 11th.
My child has been diagnosed with a learning...
A student in my class has been diagnosed with a...
I've been diagnosed with a learning disability.
You have questions. You need support from people who've been there. A source you can trust. Visit www.ldac.ca. Find practical information and connect to one of 75 local chapters of the Learning Disabilities Association of Canada. We know the challenges. We see the potential. We're here to help. LDAC.ca.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9. This is Austin Camerton, and today I have very special guests with me. I have two local people who have been in business in the area for a long number of years. They're actually celebrating their 30th anniversary this year in business, and that's Ron and Margaret Lewis from O'Shea's Market Ireland. Welcome, Ron and Margaret.
Thank you.
And before we go too much into it, one of the questions we have to answer is, it's Ron and Margaret Lewis, and it's O'Shea. So where's the connection?
Well, when we first started, we wanted to just call it Market Ireland. However, that wasn't allowed to register like that. So we had to put a first name or a last name before the Market Ireland, and we chose my name, which was O'Shea.
Fantastic. And you've been trading from day one as O'Shea's Market Ireland.
That's true.
And have you always been on Spark Street?
No, we started out on York Street at 139 York Street, and then we were there for about 2 years. Then we moved up to 14 Metcalf, which is where the main tourist bureau is. It was right beside the Rideau Club. The Rideau Club burnt down about 1979 or 1980, and so the wall was damaged, and then we had to move to 187 Spark Street, and we were there for about 11 years, and then we were at the Rideau Center for about 5 years, and now we're back on Spark Street at 91 Spark.
10 years.
So in all that period, you've really seen a lot of change, not just in your business, but in the whole landscape within Ottawa.
Definitely. Retail has changed. We don't have nearly as many small independent stores as we had then.
Right.
The Irish market has changed a great deal, too.
I can well imagine.
It has become a lot more expensive.
Right.
For certain things.
Yeah.
But there's a growing number, a new generation has come along that wants to know more about their heritage and the things that, like clatterings and Celtic knotwork and so on.
And I would imagine when you started out 30 years ago at that stage, the Aran sweaters were very much what was identified as Irish, as would have been Donegal tweed.
Very much so.
And they've remained as very stable and mainstays of
Definitely the Aran sweaters have.
Right.
The tweed is harder to get now because there aren't as many mills.
Right.
But it still lasts as long as it used to. I think somebody said 800 years it was found in a bog in Ireland.
Yeah. And do you find people even ask about it anymore?
Oh, yes, they would love us to have the garments, and we do carry some.
Okay.
But the prices now are a lot more than they were when we were starting.
And what about Irish linen?
We do bring in Irish linen. We have the damask available in any size.
And, like, has the popularity and, again, the association of Irish linen remained as strong as it was? Like, I remember growing up that everyone, like, at wedding presents, one of the standards was things like Irish linen, Waterford glass or Balik. I know, as we said, just said, times have changed.
Yes.
People no longer, I think, go for the Waterford glass as much for wedding gifts and things like that. But
no, you're right. And the same with the linen is a very special present now.
Right.
Because of the price.
And I think we're not quite as formal in our dining.
No, that's very true.
Yeah, we tend to, a mug doesn't look quite as good on linen.
No,
It kind of blends with the type of tabletops we do have.
But there are a lot of other giftware that we carry, and that is very popular. It might be, sometimes it is things like Balik, but also novelty giftware. Celtic things are very popular.
Right.
That could be those little glass figurines now from Ireland. They're very good.
And I remember growing up, because being from County Galway, I remember kind of going down to Connemara and Joyce's and the Connemara marble.
Yes.
And again, it was a very strong association between the west of Ireland being Connemara marble. That association, again, the connection is still there in the minds of people.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah,
yes.
We have worry stones that are made of Connemara marble.
And, right.
That if you're worried, you simply rub this stone, which I don't think will ever wear out. So it'll take care of your worries
and
for a long time.
Given the lifestyle that we all lead, I'm sure that there's we could all do with lots of worry stones.
Yes.
And actually, this is probably a good time when we're talking about worry stones to take a little break. We will be back after this piece of music. You're listening to Chin 97.9. This is Austin Comerton on the Gaelic Hour.
Hey, where did we go? Days when the rains came. Down in the hollow, playing a new game. Laughing and running, hey, hey, skipping and jumping. In the misty morning fog with our hearts thumping. And you, a brown-eyed girl. And you, my brown-eyed girl. And whatever happened Tuesday, I'm so slow. Gone down the old man with a transistor radio. Standing in the sunlight laughing. Hiding behind a rainbow's wall. Slipping and sliding. All along the waterfall with you. A brown-eyed girl. We used to sing sha la 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 la. You have grown. Cast my memory back there, Lord. Sometimes overcome thinking about making love in the green grass behind the stadium with you, my brown-eyed girl. And you, my brown-eyed girl. Do you remember when we used to sing sha la 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 la
Welcome back, and you're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9. This is Austin Camerton, and I have with me in studio Ron and Margaret Lewis from O'Shea's Market Ireland. They're celebrating their 30th anniversary in business. We just heard Van Morrison with Brown Eyed Girl, and Ron and Margaret had selected that along with the Ottawa Valley Dance piece from The Chieftains Live from Dublin. As we were chatting a little bit earlier, what prompted getting into business, and what started it all?
First of all, I was in the carbon paper business for about 23 years prior to being in the retail business, and our property was expropriated, so we started to look for something else. I had a break in time when I finished the other business, and we decided to go to Ireland with our family of five children. And I'll let Margaret carry on from here because it has to do with how we got started in the retail business.
Good.
Well, when we were leaving Ireland with our children, we, of course, went into Shannon Duty Free and almost missed our flight home. But we grabbed a few purchases, and one of them was a Irish linen crochet suit that I bought. And everywhere I wore that suit, people would come up and say, "Where did you buy that?" And so I said to Ron, "You know, I think many of those things that we saw in Ireland to purchase would go in Ottawa." So he was a little bit nervous about it, but we actually, within the next 6 months, we started, and it was great. Right from the beginning, people wanted things from our end.
And I presume your customers were helped from the very beginning in helping you by defining what they really wanted you to bring in.
Exactly.
And did you find, like in your previous business, Ron, had you been importing?
No, it was pretty well selling to manufacturers in Canada.
So the whole importation of goods then was a whole new experience, and all that involves.
It was a delightful experience, really. It was a lot of fun.
Right. But I know from limited my own experience that that's still just the regulations and the paperwork that goes with everything that comes in. It's quite tedious. So over the years, and I know you have lots and lots and lots of stories you must have, that of incidents that occurred that stand out in your mind as being either very comical or very special. Is there anything you can jump to mind?
Well, one time that we were traveling over to Ireland in January, and it was quite stormy out, and it took us about 20 hours to get to Shannon because of delays and one thing and another. And after we arrived in Shannon, we rented a car and then drove to Gailtera Knitwear, and where we worked for about 3 hours. So we had been on the go for a long time. And then we checked into Ashford Castle.
Right.
Which at that time was about 25 punts a night.
You're really dating yourself.
Now
you've just covered the cost of a bottle of Perrier.
So it was a real treat to go there. And so we had a delightful fresh salmon dinner and some drinks, of course. And then afterwards, there was a lady playing the piano at the back. And so I always had been interested in music, so I sat down to listen to the music. And Margaret said, would you give me the key to the room? I'm just going to go upstairs for a minute. So I gave her the key to the room. And shortly thereafter, I fell asleep and woke up in the pitch black about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I had to find my way to the reception desk and explain to them that I was staying in the castle, but I had no idea what my room number was. So anyways, the fellow took me up to the room, but he says, "You wait outside here. I'm going to go in and see what's going on here first."
Okay.
So we went in, and there was Margaret with the light on and her long dress on and her boots asleep in the bed. And then he says, "Okay, come ahead in." And then as he was leaving, he said, "You two deserve each other."
Margaret, when we come back, we're going to take another little break. And when we come back, it's payback time. You're going to get your chance to tell the story about Ron. You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9. This is Austin Camerton, and I have Ron and Margaret Lewis with me from O'Shea's Market Ireland. By the way, this program will be available on the internet at www.fidelity.ca, and you can listen during the week, or you can email me at gaelic@fidelity.ca.
Day 1. Dear Nola, thank you very much for your lovely present of a partridge in a pear tree. We're getting the hang of feeding the partridge now, although it was difficult at first to win its confidence. It bit the mother rather badly in the hand. But they're good friends now, and we're keeping the pear tree indoors in a bucket. Thank you again. Yours affectionately, Govnet O'Lunacy. Day 2. Dear Nola, I cannot tell you how surprised we were to hear from you so soon again and to receive your lovely present of 2 turtle doves. You really are too kind. At first, the partridge was very jealous and suspicious of the doves, and they had a terrible row on the night the doves arrived. We had to send for the vet. But the birds are okay again, and the stitches is due to come out in a week or two. The vet's bill was £8, but the mother is over her annoyance now, and the doves and the partridge are watching the telly from the pear tree as I write. Yours ever, Govnet. Day 3. Dear Nola, we must be foremost in your thoughts. I had only posted my letter when the 3 French hens arrived. There was another sort out between the hens and the doves, who sided with the partridge, and the vet had to be sent for again. The mother was raging because the bill was £16 this time, but she has almost cooled down. However, the fact that the bird's droppings keep falling down on her hair while she's watching the telly doesn't help matters. Thanking you for your kindness, I remain your Govnet. Day 4. Dear Nola, you mustn't have received my last letter when you were sending us the 4 calling birds. There was pandemonium in the pear tree again last night, and the vet's bill was £32. The mother is on sedation as I write. I know you meant no harm, and remain your close friend, Govnet. Day 5. Nola, your generosity knows no bounds. 5 gold rings. When the parcel arrived, I was scared stiff that it might be more birds, because the smell in the living room is atrocious. However, I don't want to seem ungrateful for the beautiful rings. Your affectionate friend, Govnet. Day 6. Nola, what are you trying to do to us? It isn't that we don't appreciate your generosity, but the 6 geese have not alone nearly murdered the calling birds, but they laid their eggs on top of the vet's head from the pear tree, and his bill was £68 in cash. My mother is munching 60 grains of Valium a day and talking to herself in a most alarming way. You must keep your feelings for me in check, Govnet. Day 7. Nola, we are not amused by your little joke. Seven swans swimming is a most romantic idea, but not in the bath of a private house. We cannot use the bathroom now because they have gone completely savage and rush the door every time we try to enter. If things go on this way, the mother and I will smell as bad as the living room carpet. Please lay off. It is not fair, Governor. Day 8. Nola, who the hell do you think gave you the right to send 8 hefty maids a milking here to eat us out of house and home? Their cattle is all over the front lawn and has trampled the hill over the mother's rose beds. The swans invaded the living room in a sneak attack, and the ensuing battle between them and the calling birds, turtle doves, French hens and partridge made the battle of the Somme seem like Wanderley Wagon. The mother is on a bottle of whiskey a day as well as the 60 grains of Valium. I'm very annoyed with you, Governor. Day 9. Listen, you louser. There's enough pandemonium in this place night and day without 9 drummers drumming. While the 8 flaming maids of milking is beating me poor old alcoholic mother out of her own kitchen and gobbling everything in sight. I'm warning you, you're making an enemy of me, Bognet. Day 10. Listen, manure faith. I hope you will be haunted by the strains of the tin pipers piping which has sent to torment us last night. They were aided in their evil work by those maniac drummers, and it wasn't a pleasant sight to look out the window and see 8 hefty maids in milking hobo-ing round with the ensuing punk rock uproar. My mother has just finished her 3rd bottle of whiskey on top of 124 grains of Valium. You'll get yours. Governor, hold on a sec. Day 11. You have scandalized my mother, you dirty Jezebel. It was bad enough to have 8 maids of milking dancing to punk music on the front lawn, but they've now been joined by your friends, the 11 lords a-leaping, and the antics of the whole lot of them would leave the most decadent days of the Roman Empire looking like outlook. I'll get you yet, you old bag. Day 12. Listen, slurry head, you have ruined our lives. The 12 maidens dancing turned up last night and beat the living daylights out of the 8 maids of milking because they found them carrying on with the 11 lords a-leaping. Meanwhile, the swans got out of the living room where they'd been hiding since the big battle and savaged hell out of the lords and all the maids. There were 8 ambulances here last night and the local civil defence as well. The mother is in a home for the bewildered and I'm sitting here up to me neck in birds, droppings, empty whiskey and valium bottles, birds, blood and feathers with the flaming toes eats the leaves off the pear tree. I'm a broken man. Come to show a notice.
And welcome back. And that piece of comedy was from Frank Kelly. It was the Christmas Countdown, and I certainly have fond memories of Frank Kelly performing that numerous times on RTE. Margaret, you picked that one, and thank you. We were saying before we left, it's your turn for payback there with Ron.
Well, this is not necessarily payback for you, but it's a story that when we took our 5 children over, we could only get a very small car, very small. And anyway, we traveled around the country and we came to a little town in Kerry called Sneem, and we stayed there. Now, at first it was fine, but one of our children, our son, got very ill, and we kept going to the doctor, and they give him a little needle in the bottom and send us out, but he never stopped getting, he was still sick. And the B&B people that we were staying with kept saying, well, we wish the real doctor was here, because apparently there was a doctor from Scotland for the summer and they didn't have too much confidence in him. So after a few days, we really became worried that he was becoming dehydrated and we felt we had to move on. So this doctor said to us, now, I have a friend who's a doctor in the next town that you're going through. Maybe you would stop and see him. And he said, no, his name is Dr. Taylor, and he's on the main street, and you can't miss him. So we got to the town. We walked down the street. We were just about in the waiting room when we saw Dr. Michael Taylor, veterinary surgeon. So we carried on to Killarney, and there he was admitted to the hospital for about a week, and finally he got better. Mm. But it was quite a scary time for us because we were on the verge of flying back. It was so, he was losing so much weight.
Wow. Going back to the period of time, the 30 years, You've been back to Ireland and over to Ireland lots and lots of times during that period, both business and I know on vacation. Are there any places that, outside of business, that you will make it your business to go to every time? Any place special that you really like?
Well, we definitely visit our daughter who lives there with our four grandchildren there, and that is in County Mayo.
Okay.
And,
What part of Mayo is that?
Right now, she has moved, she was in Westport, but she now lives in Claremorris.
Okay, yeah, I know Claremorris. Yes. I lived in Ballyhonnis for a number of years.
Oh, yes.
I know that part of the world.
And it's always a pleasure to be there for a week or whatever time we can allow, and then we are off usually to Dublin or wherever the business is.
Right. And your family, where are the rest of the family now?
You mean our children?
Yes, yeah.
Well, the other four live in Canada.
Okay.
So from Calgary to Newmarket to Ottawa.
So all over the place.
All over the place.
And just one went to Ireland.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing then is over the 30 years that you've, when you look back at the 30 years, I'm sure you look back with a tremendous sense of accomplishment and achievement as well as a lot of happiness.
I think the word that comes to mind is fun. It was, it has been a most enjoyable time, and we have never, achieved great dollar quantities in terms of our sales, but it's always been most enjoyable and provided a good income for us.
And is there anybody memorable that stands out as having come into the store that really surprised you, that you actually recognized, or that be it a Pierre Trudeau or even a visitor to Ottawa?
Pierre Trudeau didn't come in, but Brian Mulroney did, Ed Broadbent, Joe Clark. Who are some of the others, Margaret?
Gosh. We've had many artists come in from performing at the Art Center.
Right.
They will come in.
Fantastic.
And they're there. Mm-hmm.
We'll take another little break here, and I'll be back with you afterwards. This is Austin Cummerton. You're listening to Chin 97.9 on the Gaelic Hour.
It's time to turn off Ottawa.
88.7 Ronald FM.
107.5 The Dock.
Now turn on the world.
Salsa!
Turn off that sound you know, and turn on the sound you need. Giving you brand new music from all over the world. Chin Radio, 97.9.
Ho, ho, ho! Share the magic of Christmas with your friends and family. The holiday season would not be complete without Christmas with the National Arts Center Orchestra. Join acclaimed composer, conductor, arranger, and pianist Frank McNamara, whose musical works have been performed in many countries, including the US, the UK, Russia, New Zealand, and Australia. Frank is a household name in Ireland after being the musical director of RTE's The Late Late Show for 20 years. Take your family to this entertaining and uplifting concert. One night only, December 17th. Christmas with the NAC Orchestra on sale now at the NAC Box Office or Ticketmaster, 755-1111. For details on other great holiday performances, visit nac-cna.ca. And don't forget, ho ho, put the NAC under your tree. Give the gift of live performances with an NAC gift certificate. Ho 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 ho.
Have you received your Drive Safe sticker from the War Amps? Use it on your car, motorcycle, boat, or snowmobile. Any place where you want to drive home the message, Drive Safe. Look for your Drive Safe sticker in the mail or order it free from the War Amps at 1-800-250-3030 or waramps.ca.
Motorists and the War Amps working together to make driving safer.
And welcome back. You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9. This is Austin Cummerton. And at the moment, we have here with me Ron and Margaret Lewis from O'Shea's Market Ireland. And we've been talking about their 30 years in business and the celebration that they're having at the moment. We're just coming into December. a busy, busy time, I'm sure, in the retail business. You're all excited, busy, ready to go. Lots happening.
Oh, yes. This is the month.
I'm sure.
Very important. And because it's our 30th anniversary, we do have a lot of promotions and specials going on right now.
Right.
Everything from Celtic jewelry, wedding bands, and, of course, Aran sweaters.
Right. So lots of things that can be packaged and wrapped and put under the Christmas tree.
Oh, for sure. And we will even help you wrap it a little bit.
Fantastic. If somebody needed something mailed somewhere, be it outside of down into the U.S. or something like that, you could take care of that as well.
Oh, sure. We mail everywhere.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So you will be open right up until Christmas Eve?
Oh, yes. There's a lot of men come in Christmas Eve.
That was my next question. Oh, so if I leave it until about 6:30 on Christmas Eve, am I too late?
Yes. You better get in before 5.
Okay.
We find on Christmas Eve that it's mostly men that come in and have been drinking. So,
okay, no, but I find like usually it makes the decision making process an awful lot easier. I'll take the one thing that's left.
Yeah. You want to keep your receipt too.
That's right. So then you open up after Christmas into the frenzy of January sales as well.
Yes, but it's not quite as frenzied as the malls.
Right,
or on
right,
the street, yes.
Right. And when do you guys get to take a vacation?
Soon, I hope. After January, maybe.
Or it could be after St. Patrick's Day. We get into a lot of buying, usually in January and February, right, for the next fall season.
Right.
And we find that if we can get away sort of after St. Patrick's Day and before the tourist season begins about the middle of April.
One final question. If you had to start out again, or if you were to do anything different over the 30 years, is there anything that you'd say you'd do different?
Well, I think we've been extremely lucky. Although Margaret and I have been married 50 years, the first 23 years I was working on my own, whereas now I've been working with Margaret, and I think that has proven to be very enjoyable. And we shared many experiences together, both traveling and buying and things happening in the store.
Would you change anything?
No, you know, I don't really think so. I wish we hadn't had to move so many times because of circumstances that happened. But other than that, I really don't think so.
And that
maybe we used to have stores out west, and that was a difficult thing to manage from the distance. Maybe that would be the only thing.
Right. And that, I think, in a way, does summarize it, that if you can look back and say, as I said earlier, you've achieved a lot and you've a lot to be proud of, that you can look back and say, really, I wouldn't do an awful lot different. That's a tremendous, tremendous legacy to be able to put it yourselves when you sit down at the end of it. Ron and Margaret Lewis, thank you very much indeed for taking the time to spend this afternoon with me. I wish you a very, very special and Holy Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Thank you.
There's a boy and a willing flower on the high hotel center, where the brew of that red wine that they call the Mountain Dew. And she calls her Spanish hair till it shines in red and splendor. And I love her long and true, sweet presenter.
When you're home doing your study and your fair and welcome song, you're seen abroad in places we call home. There's a girl I know, sense of freedom, and a thousand heroes too. We're the singers for which this land to roam.
There's a wild and willing flower
eyes and her every splendor. And are you in love for long and true? Sweet as anthem, I'll remember.
Whispering around the ground, and we sing it through to thee. We know the places where the crackers ran. There's no woman that we can't rally, and no man that's not a friend. We're white and rugged like the Venice Strand.
There's a Hawaii and a wedding flower on the high road to the Delta, where the brew and that red wine that they call the mountain view. And she calls her Spanish hair till it shines in ribbon splendor. And are you love the long and true? Sweet the Sultan, I remember.
On friend and foe together, on lay the past to rest. Go on the kingdom, take a friend along. Where the seasons roll together, like the waves on Dingle Bay. We're the singers, here's the singing song.
Oh, there's a wild and willing flower on the high road to the Zeltan, where the brew had that red wine that they call the mountain view. And she calls the Spanish hair till it shines in ribbon splendor. And are you love the long and true? Sweet the Zeltan, are you? Hawaii and a willing flower on the high road to the Zeltan, where the brew